At this time, I'd like to convene a public comment session. The procedures of the board allow for a public comment session during each meeting. To make sure we have time for all speakers, each speaker is allotted a maximum of 5 minutes to address the board, and I ask the speakers to confine their remarks to that amount of time. We appreciate the fact that we have guest speakers and look forward to hearing from them. I'd like to call on Ms. Breland Fay.
I have never seen the chief perform live at a game, yet I've lived here since 2002. Having first been married to a professor here, then employed here, then a student here, this university has been a part of my life for nearly 16 years. Yet I didn't know there was a person that portrayed the chief until 2 years ago. My introduction to your Native American house came in 2006, when I was still a newlywed, visiting my husband on campus. I had just discovered that I could connect with other Natives here. I'd really known no other Natives but my family until then. They were doing a survey about the chief and asked for my opinion. Having grown up in Ohio and a lifelong Cleveland Indians fan, I explained my background, my race, and then expressed how respectful and honorable I thought the symbol here was. With a scowl and a look of disgust, the student taking the survey immediately turned his back on me and walked away. I felt shocked, confused, and embarrassed. It would be 11 years before I would voice my opinion or seek out a Native connection in town again. By the way, I find the Native American house just as warm and receptive to those with differing opinions now as I did back then. My introduction to your student government came in the fall of 2017, after I'd become an employee and after I had joined the Honor of the Chief Society, once again seeking out a Native connection, but this time to also honor my Native mother who had passed. I walked with the chief in that year's homecoming parade. I smiled. I waved. I gave out candy to children. I was screamed at, shoved, bullied, and assaulted in the city streets for my race and my beliefs. There were never any apologies. We spent hours wrapping and attaching feathers back to the spots of the headdress that were ripped bald, by the way, because that's how you do it. You hand put them back on. Not long after, the chancellor gave a speech addressing concerns about chief apparel at work. After reassuring the assembled crowd that we absolutely had the freedom to have and wear what we choose, he continued by referring to the chief as a dark specter on the university and talked about moving forward. As I recall, at the conclusion of that speech, no one applauded. No one asked any questions. Everyone just left. You see, it's been biased since the beginning. The theft of the war chant, homecoming, the speeches promising open communication, the critical conversations inconveniently held and without adequate notice for interested parties to attend, the Chancellor's Commission that left out the voices of the tribes of Illinois that were so generously thanked in the graduation programs, it's all been a sham. A taxpayer-wasting sham to produce a predetermined outcome. How predetermined? Maybe we as the public should be asking some questions, like who attended zero of the commission meetings? Who on the commission tried to push the narrative that the chief symbol was like a swastika? What were the results of the survey conducted and passed out to the general public? And what percentage of those total answers were actually taken into consideration? How is it when an entire community on both sides of the issue advocated for Native imagery either in the form of the chief or something different yet authentic, did the commission come up with total eradication, no Native imagery going forward as its solution? I stand in opposition to that negativity and discrimination now as I did during the Chancellor's Dark Specter speech. This gesture is not just an outward display of solidarity and honor for Native imagery. It is a stance of defiance. It is a gesture of protest against the closed-minded, racist policies decisions, and recommendations that this current administration has made against Native Americans. We are not dark specters. We are more than our attempted genocide. We are more than tragic pain. We are not your victims to be pitied and placated and handled with kid gloves. We are not your scapegoats, nor is the chief. We are not, nor have we ever been, a weak people. To assume that we would prefer the eradication of all Native imagery to any compromise that incorporates tradition, authenticity, inclusion, and education is to assume that we care nothing for preserving our culture at all. To assume that we will stand idly by and let it happen is to assume lunacy. Chiefs, warriors, redskins, redmen, Indians, braves, fighting Sioux, fighting Illini. These are all names intentionally chosen to honor and remember a Native people willing to fight until their dying breath in order to defend their traditions, culture, and way of life against utter eradication. I promise you now, I will be no different. Illini Nation will be no different.
Thank you, Ms. Fay. I'd like to call on Mr. James Martin.
Members of the board, if you recall, last November I spoke to you regarding the decision to cut the men's and women's gymnastics programs here at UIC. Since then, Garrett Classy, the former athletic director who made this decision, has left to take a lower position at another university. In addition to cutting gymnastics, he's made a plethora of unexplained administrative changes. Garrett Classy is leaving the entire athletic department in a state of disarray. He made a mistake when he realized that, after the outpouring of support for both programs, he selfishly abandoned his responsibilities and his department and left them devastated with no place to start rebuilding. Without an athletic director, the only person continuing to defend his decisions is Chancellor Amoritas, a man who proposes things like an ice skating rink in the center of campus, yet now finds it necessary to cut existing student programs. The decision to cut both teams has not been changed, but it's not too late to salvage this situation. In theory, cutting gymnastics would allow for better training space and a larger budget for other teams. Yet even with gymnastics supposedly straining the department's resources, the past years have been among the most successful in USC athletics history. Just this year, we celebrated multiple conference championships, including one by the women's gymnastics program, as well as the highest average student athlete GPA ever. The reality is that UIC athletics can continue to grow and to be successful without a change in its resources or sport offerings. Gymnasts make up a diverse group of athletes driven in classroom and competition. An athletics department should be an outward representation of the university which it belongs to. I'm proud to be a student at one of the most diverse universities in the world. Yet by cutting an underrepresented sport, we show the world that our university aims to be more closed-minded and homogeneous. You, as members of the board, have the power to change this outward image and to uphold the diversity that contributes to the greatness of this school. Since cutting both programs, the gymnastics facility has not been touched, and without any leadership regarding athletics, there does not seem to be a plan to do that in the immediate future. According to both Garrett Classy and Chancellor Amoritas, the decision to cut both teams was based on a lack of resources. Now those resources, which used to serve a good purpose to the students of the university, simply sit and collect dust. As an employee of the university, Chancellor Amoritas has taken away opportunities from a unique and diverse group of current and future UIC students. Garrett Classy may have dropped our sport, but we did not drop UIC. After the end of our competitive season, members of the varsity gymnastics program formed a new club sport, gymnastics at UIC. Just 10 days ago, when we asked Chancellor Amoritas to have our training space back, he simply answered, "I will leave that decision to the athletic director." Yet there is no athletic director, and the fall semester is approaching quickly. We have done our part, but university personnel has continuously made it difficult to engage students. You have a group of students practically begging to be allowed to engage and to represent UIC, yet university leadership has simply dismissed us. You have a responsibility to rectify this. When I came to you in November, I expressed our lack of confidence in the athletic director, and we were correct. Now we must call into question the overarching strategy of the entire athletic department. The campus leadership does not appear to understand the desires of the student body at UIC, and I'm calling the Board of Trustees to step in and fix this. Our club now has to travel off campus to a facility not suited for collegiate gymnastics. Well, we have all the equipment and space that we need for varsity gymnastics right here on campus. We request that before the semester starts, the gymnastics training space and equipment is transferred for use by campus recreation to allow for use by gymnastics at UIC and for all those who wish to use it. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'd like to call on our next speaker, Ms. Terry Clark.
Good morning. Mr. Chairperson and Board, thank you for this time today. I'm Terry Clark. As a former student at the University of Illinois College of Law from 2005 to 2007, I prepared a comment in advance on this Disability Awareness Month. In the hopes of bringing institutional growth and change at the University of Illinois. The University of Illinois is a prestigious academic institution, and yet there is room for improvement in its perpetual legacy. As I understand from Mr. Daniel Palaio, Assistant Director of Student Loans and Collections, there is unfortunately no institutional loan discharge option in the event a student sustains a disability during the repayment period. I could tell you this is all about me, but I wouldn't be telling the truth. As someone living with a disability, I went into repayment for years despite being unable to complete the program at the University of Illinois College of Law, being diagnosed for the first time with a mental disability while a student. In truth, there's a bigger picture. The disability awareness flag waves high for others in a similar place. Consider the prestige of the University of Illinois and the number of students and alumni who enter military service and sustain service-connected disabilities while having institutional loans from the University of Illinois. Consider brave first responders and University of Illinois alumni who become disabled in the line of duty and hold institutional loans. Consider an institutional loan borrower who completes a program at the University of Illinois with disabilities, but comes to find that in the work world, there are few opportunities for the accommodations he or she requires to do the job. I'm proposing change as a program and policy matter to grant institutional loan discharge to each institutional loan borrower who receives a federal student loan disability discharge. I think it would remain in keeping with the university mission to offer the same relief the U.S. government offers in federal aid to those with University of Illinois institutional loans. At least one private for-profit lender, Navient, is offering a disability application disability discharge application for their private loans. The administrative burden could be minimal if the application tracks the federal discharge application and asks for this decision with the application, because that program already reviews medical information as part of the application process. My mom graduated from Harvard with a Harvard University federal student loan debt and received a disability discharge. So I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. While I didn't graduate from Harvard, I did receive a federal student loan disability discharge, and I was fortunate enough to sit in Professor Peter Mack's contracts class at the University of Illinois College of Law and even earn a B plus on his infamous 5-question exam. I'm very grateful for my fine education at the University of Illinois College of Law, and I hope the board will consider the opportunity I've posed for growth and excellence and meeting institutional goals by implementing a new program for disability discharge option of institutional student loans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Clark. Next, I'd like to call on Ms. Jenna Kane.
Good morning, Mr. President, trustees. Thank you for this opportunity to speak today. My name is Jenna Kane, and I am a UIC Women's Gymnastics alum. 9 months ago, we stood in front of you as gymnastics alumni and current team members to ask you to not allow the gymnastics to be dropped at UIC. At that time, there was no strategic plan in place necessitating the dropping of any sport. In May, a new strategic plan was presented, but without any clear definition as to why dropping gymnastics would help achieve these goals or improve UIC athletics. Some of the goals mentioned in this plan were providing a great student athlete experience, achieving academic success, and winning championships. In fact, this is exactly what the UIC women's gymnastics team did this year. Therefore, it is counterproductive to drop a sport that has already proven itself and reached the goals that were stated in this new strategic plan. It is also worth taking a look at why the former athletic director, Garrett Classy, who created the plan and made the decision to drop gymnastics so suddenly and without any warning, would leave what was supposedly his dream job in a city he proclaimed to love and take a step back from being an athletic director to becoming an associate athletic director at a different school. Again, this occurred without any warning and suddenly in the middle of summer. It does lead us to believe that either he did not see the feasibility of bringing his plan to fruition or that UIC has lost confidence in him and in his plan. The former athletic director came to UIC exactly 2 years ago and followed the very predictable path of administrators who use a position as a stepping stone in their own career. During his short duration at UIC, he made an unprecedented number of changes, some of which had a highly negative impact on student athletes. This unfortunately is a well-known practice that can occur when a new administrator starts as the head in various professions, steps into a new position, makes drastic changes, and then leaves before the results of said changes can be evaluated. In this case, one of the most drastic changes Garrett Classy made was dropping the gymnastics program, two of the most successful in UIC's history. In the case of women's gymnastics, they were dropped even after one of their most successful seasons ever. This success includes accolades such as being the top team in Illinois, beating the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, who was the number two team in the Big Ten this year, and beating Northern Illinois University, who was the number one team in the MAC conference. The women's gymnastics team was also conference champions, and by an extremely narrow margin out of first place, they were second in the nation at the National Collegiate Championships for all schools with less than 8 scholarships. Aside from that, 9 women gymnasts were scholastic All-Americans, and that grade point average for the entire team was a 3.5. The women's team accomplished all of this and more despite receiving the devastating news at the beginning of the year that their program would be dropped. This forced the gymnasts to scramble throughout the school year to figure out what their futures would be, and it displaced student athletes, all while having to deal with the emotional aftermath of Garrett Classy's decision. The women's team truly maximized the opportunities and funds they were allocated to them. As they have for many years, they always found a way to succeed with less. Despite the devastating news they had received the morning of the fifth day of school this past year, they had to, on a daily basis, work on overcoming that severe adversity and focus on the positives their season was creating. Using this new strategic plan that came out in May as a benchmark, the women's gymnastics team has already accomplished the goals that the plan seeks to achieve. The gymnasts had a great student-athlete experience. They achieved high academic success, as they have for the last 3 decades, by the way, and they won championships again this year. It leaves all of us questioning, why would you drop a program that has already proven to be successful? We hope it leaves you questioning the very same things. Today, we ask you to please consider minimizing the lasting and damaging effects of Garrett Classy's actions. He was a career administrator who was more interested in his personal gain than the people and the programs he left behind at UIC. He came to UIC for a very short period of time and made drastic changes, but he left before the results could be realized. Given the severity of the changes and the lack of accountability that remains, there needs to be a way to mitigate the impact of those changes. In this case, we are asking that you reverse the most drastic decision that he made and reinstate the UIC gymnastic programs to allow gymnastics to continue to flourish at UIC. I have a daughter, and I hope that she will one day have the college student athlete experience like I had here on the women's team at UIC. This program can be and will provide the life-changing experience for hundreds of future young women who were just like me. It changed my life in so many positive ways. For the current team members, as well as many future women and men, reinstating the gymnastics program means everything, everything. It's just the right thing to do. Like I tell my daughter, sometimes doing the right thing takes a little bit of courage. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Kane. That concludes our public speaking session.